Good morning. I will give you a heads up ahead of time. I told the Sunday school group this morning that my voice has been perfectly fine, including this morning talking to the dog and the children and the husband. And as soon as I opened my mouth to say good morning to the Sunday school group, it may or may not make it through the service. We will see. I have a few announcements this morning, and I would first like to ask Sarah and Rob and Leanna and Bjorn if it's appropriate. Okay, we have hired, meaning the staff team has hired, a new director of children and youth ministries, and he happens to live in my house. Bjorn. And so we're really excited to be able to improve and build upon the program that we have in place. And so I'm excited to have a cohort to help do that. I would also like to mention that we still have our tartans up. That was on purpose. They are absolutely beautiful, and we just had to enjoy them for another week before they go back into their closets. And speaking of decorations, this past week I went into the office, and where normally the flowers from the Sunday service are beautifully displayed on that opening table in the foyer of the Martin home, there were a lot of fruit and vegetables laid about, and I thought, well, those are going to spoil very quickly, until I noticed that there were also two stationary chipmunks amongst the fruit and vegetables. And I would just like to give a huge shout out to Kathy Bridges and Sue Spivey, who I do not see here this morning, but they put together that beautiful display, and it is absolutely gorgeous, and I'm going to enjoy it for the whole month of November. And so now, happy All Saints Day. We are here this morning, and we will be honoring folks from this congregation who passed away this past January. But this is also a day when we honor all of the saints who have formed us and who have gone before us in our faith. And so later, there will be a moment for silent meditation. And I invite you to remember the two names that we will lift up verbally, but I also invite you to meditate upon the people who have been a personal influence in your faith journey throughout your life, and lift up those folks in prayer as we meditate together. This morning, we also launch our stewardship campaign, which is Faith and Love in Action. And I believe these are already on their way to your homes. Some of them may have arrived. We know how the mail system works. This is not a criticism if we have anyone working for the mail service. But these will be at your doors, and we will have extras out in the chancel, not in the chancel, in the commons, et cetera. But look through this. It is a beautiful representation of this congregation in 2024, and as we look ahead to 2025. All of this, as we begin this stewardship campaign, will culminate on November 17th, which is our Commitment Sunday. This is when we will dedicate our pledges for 2025. We will also take time to remember our baptisms so that we know who and whose we are, and we will rededicate ourselves to the Lord's service. May we all be instruments of His love in a hurting world. Are there any other announcements for the good of all? Well, then, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the call to worship. Fling wide the temple gates. The mighty and glorious one is coming. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. And let us pray. God of all glory, we gather here today with the saints of every time and place to honor and praise your holy name, as you have revealed your mercy and might to your faithful people of every age. So let us glimpse, even through our tears, the mystery of your life-giving grace and the love that even death cannot destroy. Through Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega. Amen. May be seated. God has promised to make of us a new creation, laying to rest the former things, making all things new. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin, praying first in silence. And together we pray. Almighty Lord and God, in Jesus Christ you came from heaven to dwell among us, calling us to be your faithful people, yet we remain shrouded in sin. We hurt and disgrace ourselves. We abuse and destroy one another. We dishonor your holy name. Forgive us. Unbind us and let us go so that we may stand among your saints, rejoicing in your saving grace, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Listen, the one who is seated on the throne says, "See, I am making all things new." Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me up here on the steps. We won't be throwing anything this week. Good morning. I love your dress. That reminds me so much of the Magic School Bus. Do you know that show? Yeah.
I have that at my school.
You have that at your
Magic School Bus.
You watch it too? Yeah. Leif, you want to come up on the steps? Are you good? All right. Well, good morning. I'm going to put this back here. So my question for you this morning is, what was the last time that you cried? When was the last time you cried? 10 years ago? He's 9? Yeah. Did you say 10 or 2? You did say 10. Okay. When was the last time you cried? Do you know? No?
I cried because...
It's okay, you can do it. No? Okay, I'll do it for you. When did you cry? Why did you cry?
Because of my mama cut the onion for the part of at the skeleton house.
Yes, so I was cutting onions and that made you cry?
It was Annalise's birthday.
Yeah, it was for a birthday. Yeah, I was making chili for a chili cook-off, and I was cutting onions and warned her that can make us cry. Anyone else? So name any time that you've cried. What has made you cry in your lifetime? When you were born, yeah. All of you cried when you were born. Yeah, that's a mom's favorite thing to hear when a baby is born.
Stuff away from me.
Oh, yeah, when mommies take things away from us, that can make us cry. Mom.
My mom is an angry mom.
Oh, yeah. When mom gets angry, sometimes that can make us cry.
My
mama doesn't. Yeah. Moms, we're not getting the better end of the stick this morning. So I hope this goes the way I was hoping and the way I planned. So when you cry, who is it who comforts you? right off the bat. If y'all say dad, I'm ending this right here and there. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah, stuffies. So stuffed animals when I was growing up. Now we call them stuffies. Those are very helpful when we cry. Yeah, so she made a whole pile of her stuffies and then got in that pile. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
So in my mind, this was when I get a boo-boo, when someone at school says something, and who comforts you? Your mother. This has not gone anywhere near like I expected. You want to talk into it?
Because I cry when my mama gives me away stuffies, because I have a lot of unicorns, and when I got up in my room, my stuffy animal was gone.
Oh, I promise I didn't give it away. She said when her mommy, that would be me, for those of you who don't know, gives away her stuffies. All right, we're gonna move right on from this one into the next piece.
Yep.
So. Oh, yeah, if anyone takes away, I'm going to take moms right out from under the bus right now. So we have two stories this morning of people crying. The first one is a story of two women, Naomi and Ruth, and they had lost people who they loved very, very much, and they were very sad about that. And Naomi decided that she was going to go back to in another time. No, no. It's my turn. Please don't cry. And so Naomi was going to go back to her homeland, and she told the girls to go back to their mothers, and Ruth decided she was going to stay by Naomi's side. And our second story comes from the very last book of the Bible in Revelation, when it says that God will wipe away all of our tears. And here's the best part. We don't have to wait for that day that God wipes away our tears to be somewhere off in the distant future, in heaven, or in a time that we can't see yet. God wipes away our tears right now through the people that we love who care for us and who comfort us when we're hurting, right? Will you pray with me? Dear God, help us to follow you as Ruth followed Naomi. May we let our tears flow so that we may be comforted by those we love most. And may we look forward to the day you wipe our tears away. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, let's go back to our places, to all those mothers who make life so miserable.
So I'm the moment for mission. This morning I was fixing to leave the house and I said something to Julie, and Julie said, remember, everybody out there is glad that you're up there and not them. So anyway, if you're a lawyer and you try cases, which I've tried a bunch of them, there one of the adages, and there are thousands of them, is tell the jury what you're fixing to tell them, and then tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you just told them. And I don't think with this group I have to be so repetitive. But in this week's midweek news, there was a article by my former law partner, Susan Bisson, enumerating the reasons that she and her family tied to this church or give to this church and support it. And if you've not read that, you should read it, because I will certainly submit to you that one or all of those reasons are the reasons that you're here. You know, certainly the reasons I'm here. When I was growing up in the Henry Memorial Presbyterian Church in Dublin, Georgia, where I grew up, that church had a very positive impact on my life, and this church has too. So you just need to think about that when you are considering what you should do in this coming stewardship season. If you read Micah 6:8, which is a really great verse, it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And I think one of the ways that all of us can fulfill that charge is by participating in the stewardship season, both financially, and this congregation is very blessed in that front, but also by giving of your time and talents and abilities and whatever they may be to support the church and support the community. Because the time, talent, and abilities is equally as important as the money, because if you're not engaged and are not supporting the church with your activities, you're not going to be supporting the church. So when you get your book, we got ours one day this week, see what, how our money's being spent and the where we're outreaching into the community to support those that are less fortunate than we are, and just think about what you're doing and be generous when you're considering what you're going to do on that pledge card. Thank you.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. O Lord, you are our God. By the power of your Holy Spirit, teach us through your word to follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Listen for God's word. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. This is the word of the Lord.
I have a Montreat cup up here with a sticker on it that will help me get through this sermon, I think. Our second scripture comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5a. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last year, on All Saints Day, or the Sunday after All Saints Day, the Reverend Dr. Ken McKenzie preached a sermon entitled Digging Again, the Wells of Our Fathers. It was a fitting message for the Sunday when we remember and honor the whole communion of saints, the great cloud of witnesses that surround us. The scripture came from the book of Genesis, when Isaac had become so wealthy and prosperous that the Philistines had ordered him to leave. So he went to a valley in which his father Abraham had dug many wells, and he ordered that they be dug again to provide water for the people. Yet each time they tried to settle down, the inhabitants of the valley disputed their right to the land and the water. Isaac and those with him continued to move around, digging up old wells until no one disputed their right to stay. Well, this year we are on another sojourn, and instead of digging up the wells of our fathers, we are following our mothers, all those lovely women who make us cry. I'm just kidding. Our opening scripture has us face to face with our own mortality. Our world has been shaken, and our future looks bleak. We must acknowledge that those closest to us are not guaranteed long life. Neither are we. We see Naomi as the lowest that she has ever been. She has lost her husband and both her sons. Orpah and Ruth have lost their husbands and the hope of children. Their tears flow freely. Naomi does not see much hope ahead in her future. She is beyond the stage in life in which she could expect to remarry and have more children. She has become one who must endure either the pity or scorn of all who meet her. She has no way of earning a living and will now be even more dependent on the kindnesses of others for her every need. This is not the life she wants for her daughters-in-law. They are not even her people. They are Moabites. They have options. They are young and attractive. They could easily return home and catch the eyes of other young men. They could be given the hope of having families of their own, surrounded by those who reared them. They can go home. At the risk of being left completely alone in the world, Naomi thinks of these young women above herself. She cannot fathom dragging them back to her home, where she can offer them no assurances. So she sends them on their way. She gives them permission. In fact, she insists that they leave her and go back to their mothers to start again. Naomi is childless. She would not wish that on any other woman, Moabite or otherwise. We have read this story of Ruth dozens of times, and we always seem to focus on Ruth. It makes sense. The whole book is named for her, and she is included in the lineage of Jesus himself, by way of King David, of course. Yet where would Ruth be without Naomi's example? If Naomi had demanded that the two women stay with her and serve her in her old age, would Ruth have felt the same way? If Naomi had belittled the women for being from a different culture than her own, or if she had blamed them for her loss, it's possible. One avenue of grief often takes the form of a person trying to alleviate their pain by placing blame on someone or something else. If Naomi had thought only of herself and her own feelings, would we even have a book of Ruth? Who is your Naomi? Who has given of themselves so freely to you that you could feel the very love of God through them? Whether or not they were female, these are your mothers. These are the people who have gone before you. They have guided you, nurtured you, built you up when the world threatened to tear you down. These are the very saints of God who have gone before us and who beckon us to follow. And now, who are the widows? Who are the people in our community who are desperately dependent on others for their very survival? Who are the suffering ones? The ones without hope? The ones who have experienced unfathomable trauma and loss? If we are truly to be children of God, we must follow our mother's example of putting faith and love into action. Then, when we love well, love with our whole selves, we will find that God dwells among mortals. He is our God, and we are his people, and he wipes away every tear. And the mother's son, who is seated on the throne of God, will look each of us in the eye and say, "See, I am making all things new." Friends, as we enter this season of stewardship, let us follow the example of our mothers. Let us put our faith and love in action as we care for the widows and orphans among us. Let us remember those who have gone before us, and let us look with hope to a future when all things will be made new. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Friends, as we prepare to honor the saints from our congregation and beyond who have joined the church triumphant in 2024, let us offer to God the prayers on each of our hearts in silent meditation. Father God, we await your new heaven and your new earth. Because of our finite nature, we speak of those who have died as having been lost to us, for they have passed on from our presence. Yet they are at this very moment in your presence, just as we are in your presence in this space. Therefore, we feel closer to them as we lift their names to you now. Coy Temples. Dennis Moore. As Ruth was devoted to following Naomi, may we follow in the faithful footsteps of the saints that have gone before us. Even as we mourn their departure from our community, may we look forward with hope to that day that you wipe away all tears, when we may dwell alongside those who have gone before us in your eternal presence and glory. In the name of the one who makes all things new. Amen. And now, friends, please stand and join with me as we affirm our faith together using the Nicene Creed. Saints of God, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Who will enter the presence of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy place? Those who offer their whole lives to God, heart and soul and mind and strength. They will receive the blessing of the Lord. Friends, let us bring our offerings to God. You may be seated. As head of staff and with a new employee of the church ready to take his first marching orders, I have a request, Bjorn. Can you come sit up front, and then when it comes time during the prayer and the breaking of the bread, will you hold the microphone for me? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. That's your first act as director of children and youth ministries. Friends, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Thanks and praise to you, O God, creator and lover of the universe. You created all that was. You nurture all that is. You imagine all that will be. You are the pattern of community, three in one, God of mercy. From the beginning of time, you have created us for relationship with one another, with the earth, and with you. When we reject your call to community, choosing isolation over partnership and brokenness over healing, you call us back again and again with words of grace and the promise of new life. Remembering that we are not alone at this table, we join our voices with all the saints whom you have called, from all times and all places, who forever sing your praise. All holy God, how wonderful is the work of your hands. Because sin rose up to leave a fault line, even in the earth, you stepped forward to enter into a covenant of peace that can renew the whole creation. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, as a father joyfully welcomes his own, you embraced a people as yours, filling them with a longing for peace that will last, a justice that will never fail. Through countless generations, your people hungered for the bread of freedom. From them, you raised up Jesus, your Son, the living bread, in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. Eternal God, let your Holy Spirit move in power over us and over these earthly gifts of bread and wine, that we may have communion in the body and blood of Christ, and that we may become one in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. On the night of his arrest, Jesus gathered with his disciples, and in breaking the bread, he said, "Whenever you eat of this, do so in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup, and as he poured it, he said, "This is the new covenant poured out in my blood. Whenever you drink from this cup, do so in remembrance of me. Friends, this table is not the table of First Presbyterian Church. This is not my table. This is the Lord's table, and all are welcome here. So come forward and taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us pray. watching for a new heaven, waiting for a new earth. We pray for the church. Transform this broken body into a communion of saints, a company of the faithful, working for good in your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the world. Destroy the shroud of death that is spread over the nations. Replace the rule of wealth and war with your realm of justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this community. Make your home among us. Dwell with us in this place. Let it be a city of heavenly peace, a place of refuge for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for loved ones. Soothe those who are suffering. Comfort those who mourn. Let us be glad and rejoice in the gift of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. As you have sustained your saints through centuries of service, keep us faithful here and now, even as we recite the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? So therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.